30-plus police officers. Supposedly, someone said he even had riot police off the reserve ready to come in. I never saw that. That's secondhand information. I can't verify that, but I believe that that could probably be the case.
Okay. So, okay, was it the tribal police that was after you then?
The tribal police, they were there is, well, I had no problem with that. They were there to try to keep the peace, because what they were worried about and what I was worried about is people were going to physically fight for the casket. It was disgusting. It was awful. You know, they had people that were going that said and were ready to use physical force to take the casket and bury her on the reserve. Using fists or clubs or whatever.
And boy, yeah, that's my goodness. Yeah, they were gonna go for broke, but I'm glad so far that everything's worked out to your advantage here. But
and
there's
Chief
something tells me a lot
name
more is going on here.
Yeah,
go ahead.
His name, Dr. M. E. Spencer. She was the chief medical examiner and a doctor at the time there, and I think she's still the examiner there. And she was quite good. I mean, I really had to beg and plead to get this going. So.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where it's going. So I begged and pleaded, and then Wednesday night, what I have to do is say about the First Nation tribes, when there's a burial, the whole community go. I mean, everything's shut down. People go. And what they usually do is the day before and all night, people stay there. They play cards and they talk all night in the school gymnasium, the casket in the middle, and visit and eat food, and you know, until the morning, till the ceremony. So that's where is that. So I was staying there, and we had, you know, people watching my children, and I had two people do the ceremony. I had a minister, you know, for me because I'm Christian, and we had a First Nations elder, and this is a gentleman. He wasn't chosen by me. He was chosen by the Welsh wife's family and the community, named Gilbert Smith, really highly respected elder, named Gilbert Smith. And anyway, they came to me Wednesday night, and they said, well, we're really nervous. We're not sure if we're going to do the funeral tomorrow because we're worried for ourselves. I mean, this is crazy when you got a minister and a First Nations spiritual elder worry about doing a funeral, you know, because it's going to be, you know, for their safety. So, I mean, this is totally ridiculous. This is sickening. This is disgusting to my late wife's memory. So, finally...
So they pretty much bailed on you, huh?
No, they didn't bail. No, they kept going. I talked. I'm pretty good at talking. So I talked, and we talked, and they kept on. They weren't going to back out, but they were nervous, you know? So I said, look, we got lots of police here. And so finally at 3 o'clock in the morning, I broke down and I relented and decided to let her be buried in reserve because I couldn't let my children see people fighting over the casket. You know what I mean? It'd be disgusting to have a funeral and my kids are sitting, I'm sitting there, people trying to gather the caskets, people are fighting, police are coming in batons. I mean, how terrible, you know?
Right.
So I couldn't let that happen.
Yeah, I got you. And you know, there is only so much you can do, right?
Yeah, I couldn't let that happen. So I said, okay, you know, I promised my late wife, but I couldn't. I mean, I had more responsibility to the children. You know, children's emotional, mental well-being. You know, I mean, that would have been traumatized for life if they had seen that.
I can imagine, and plus you're trying to take care of them, you know, and you're the only thing they have, so.
So I did that, and we had the funeral ceremony. It was really nice. We had the burial, and things went on, and things settled down there for a little bit, and a lot of people asked me, why didn't you move? Well, I thought about it, but, and some family and some people said, but after a few months, but you gotta realize, you know, here's at the time my love of my life, my wife, my you know heart, my soulmate, my children's mother, she's buried there. It's hard to leave. How can we move? And we went and nearly daily to the grave. So,
Right. And
for the
you
children,
loved
they
your
want this.
wife, and your, I mean, you loved your wife. She was your world. You were her world.
Yeah.
And then that happened. Yeah.
So that's going on, and so that this went on for a while, and we kept trying to healing, and then now that was my late wife passed away July 15th, 2004, and now we're into 2005, and we're into end of June, beginning of July. And now I'm making some plans to move. Okay, it's time to move to the Toronto general area, Guelph, Mississauga, where all my family's located with my children. And
Sounds
then I
good.
talked about, and but I made a mistake. I opened up my big trap, and people didn't like it. And then a few days before, I got a warning. Somebody says, "You better get a watch it." And I'm going, like, "What do you mean to watch it? I didn't, re okay, hold, can you mute me for 1 second, please? Mute me for 1 second. Come right back."
Okay. Just one moment, folks.
Yeah.
Okay, are
Okay.
you
Okay, I'm
back?
back. Yeah, I'm back. I decided to get more time.
No problem.
Okay, I'm back. What happened? I'll go chronologically. Is from the police. The police on. I don't have the memories the exact date. It was around the. It was around the 18th or 19th of July. They got a phone call from the Native Children's Aid worker. I was off the reserve with my children. And they told the police, said that I had kidnapped and apprehended my children and
What?
left the reserve, and they believed I was heading for Toronto, Ontario, and to please contact the U.S. Customs border to arrest me and block me and to let me into the United States, contact all police agencies, have me arrested and the children apprehended and bring back to the reserve. So, I mean, pretty well, they believed I've already left, and they're going, okay, they're in panic mode. Get him, bring him back, and here.
Oh
So
no.
the the police investigated that. I didn't hear nothing ever from the police. And then few hours later, I was staying off the reserve, and that night, the Native Children's Aid came and kidnapped and apprehended my children.
Dude, that is absurd. So, first
And
of all, they try to accuse you. Go ahead.
yeah, he tried to accuse me of murder. Second, they call the police, say kidnapped and apprehended. Oh, and they also said, get this, you're gonna love this. They told the police that the children were wards of the Children's Aid, Native Aid, so the police would have to take force. They lied to police, and this is in physical police documents that I have. They lied, the worker said. And later, when the police called them back, the worker admitted that the children were not wards of the Children's Aid. I mean, he had lied to police. He had lied to police. They did all that just to try to get me arrested, which never happened. And then when
Good, good.
the police told him, said, "Well, as far as we're concerned, Jeff, Mr. Govro is the, legal guardian. No crimes committed. Case closed." So they weren't too happy with the police. So they went off and did their deal. So they've got the children. So this is I've never been through like that. I've been dealt in businesses. I've dealt with presidents, CEOs, companies, and sales. But I've never dealt with anything like that. I'm just in shock. How do you deal with that? So time goes by, and trying to find a way to work things out, and okay, they're
Yeah,
saying,
no
they're saying,
kidding.
"Okay, what do you want? I mean, I don't
Sure.
drink, I don't
Dude,
smoke, I'm in
you're
good health. Last year,
law-abiding.
last year you came to me and asked me and my wife to be foster parents. Now you're saying, an unfit father, like, get lost, what a baloney." And I knew a lot about them
Right.
because my wife sat on the board. So I knew everything, the background of it. I knew all the, not a background, all the, but all there. I said, like, this is ridiculous. And
Yes, it is.
I tried to, which was a mistake, I tried to reason with them and settle and talk, and they were just stalling. So finally we get to court. They accuse me of everything under the sun. I think there was 26 accusing. Everything they can accuse you of, they accuse me of. And children accused, anything you can think of in your minds, your imagination, they accuse me of. The children are and then problem with, of course, with our system, the judge has to deal, in the best interest of children. So if you get a children's aide throwing every accusation on their son, what they use, they're pretty smart. They use the system against me, and for
Exactly.
political purposes. So the judge threw 90%. A few of them says, okay, we have to investigate. And I mean, I don't blame him. I agree with the judge. His hands are tied. So, it was just totally ridiculous. So a normal case, people have gone through. This might be work for a few days, a few weeks, maybe a month at the most. We're talking over 2 years. They held my children. 2 years they held my children, and it was just ridiculous. So shortly after that, they a reserve works in Canada. They have a lot of power. They have a power, not quite like a presidential prime minister powers, but quite a bit. And they
Oh, yes.
evicted me immediately from my house with a couple days' notice, and they banned me from the reserve, and kicked me out. There's no way, so I couldn't access my children. So, and
Yeah, this is making me
they
red under
passed
my
the law.
collar. And this
They
is all in
passed the
Canada,
law.
correct?
Yeah, it's called a Bank Council resolution. They passed a law that I cannot be enter the reserve if I am I'm too. So it's
You
ridiculous.
broke up a
So
little bit there. What was that?
that they passed a law that if I ever return to the reserve, I was to be arrested. And
Okay.
so I had to move away down to the Toronto Guelph area. So we're talking, roughly
Jeez.
1,000 miles away. So I'm away from my children. So I'm down there now, and we're fighting and trying to go back. And they're stalling in court, and they're putting, saying we need more time. And I mean, it was just they're trying to drag their shoes to make it slow as possible. No information, nothing,
Yeah, it was
So
like
it.
wearing you down, and Cass has a real bad reputation there in Canada as it is. I got some dirt on them, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, this went on and on, and we had one, so it was going on, and then we had went to court date, and we made an agreement, and they're supposed to return the children, and they went by the court order, and we had to go back to court again, and but this court takes a long time, so we're getting up to the 2 year point. It's ridiculous. So at about a year and a half point, I'm saying to the lawyer, this is frustrating. And he says, Jeff, this isn't a legal problem. This isn't about your parent. This is a cultural, this is a political problem. This is a war. And he said, what your idea before is go public, raise hell, speak up, because that's the only way this is going to be resolved. And I said,
Really?
okay, I got it. So I went and started checking out, and I found one reporter. I the name Margaret Philp, really great reporter. Unfortunately, she passed
Good.
away a few
Oh.
years later. But the Globe and Mail newspaper, she was a really wonderful reporter. And I called her up and sent her emails, and she investigated. And she did really, took her time. She took about a month and a half researching the story and verifying everything. And then she did a front page expose on it. It was a big front page in our national newspaper, and it was
Yeah.
called "The Battle to Rest son and daughter from Grandmother on Reserve highlights clash of cultures between Native and non-Native Canadians. And it was really, it was a really great story, and it really helped get the firestorm and get support for me to get this resolved.
Good. So you were able to conjure some media attention, and that really helped.
Yeah. And our case was doing it is our case made Canadian legal history, in that the judge put in police enforcement provisions in the court order against the Native Children's Aid and Native First Nation to return to the children to me. And they only give these provisions usually that have been in court case against the they've never been put in a children's aid in before in Canada. They're usually done in, you know, in parent custody battles, and when they, or when I think it's not going to be upheld or somebody's not going to listen. I mean, can you think of anybody that's listening out there? If you like or don't like your children aid, can you imagine an American judge or a Canadian judge putting in the provision a court order giving me power to call the police and the police to enforce the court order if the children were not returned to me on the date set? Like, that's amazing that I got that.
That's the first time I've ever heard it myself. Exactly.
So,
let me just reiterate that. So, just in case of our listeners had a hard time hearing, he was dealing with Cass, okay? And the thing is the judge put in their the court decree that Cass was forced, they're mandatory to give the children back to the father. And if they would be penalized if they didn't. So even the judge made it mandatory for Cass to hand the children over to you. This is unprecedented, but go ahead.
How it made a precedent, in the corner, it reads that I could call the police and the police could take action against Cass and the First Nation. So, I mean, pretty well, if they didn't abide by the court order, the Native Children's Aid Cass would be arrested and the children's First Nation individuals involved. I mean, but in the provision was saying is, if they're not going in, the police can go in there and get the kids and you know, and do their job, and anybody that, you know, gives them problem, you know, they're going to jail.
You know, what? See, the thing is I don't get is there's been, let's just say, millions of parents out there that Cass has just ripped their family apart, took the children. And I'm sure that there's been other parents that's gone to the media and so forth, but wow. I'm wondering if they were able to get into the media. I'm pretty sure that the media there is very political, as it is here in the U.S. And, I mean, you had to work doggedly. I mean, you had to be really on it, constantly trying to get media attention. Is that how it was?
Oh, it was, yeah. And so during the whole time of 2 years, I mean, I couldn't really work. I was fighting for my children for 2 years. You know, I was, my lawyer's saying, he said, you should have been a lawyer. I mean, I brushed up on, you know, legal law, you know, I made sure I knew the case forward and backwards, trying to learn everything. Mm-hmm. It was actually recorded. It was kind of funny. It was frustrating. It was going like, I was kind of instructing the judge. I mean, it's not the judge, my lawyer, you know, telling me all the background because I know the case the best, you know, because I'm living it. And we're trying to deal with this. And it was just, it was just hell dealing with this. I wish this on my worst enemy. I mean, you know, I lost weight, you know, hard, my hardened heart, my hair went white. You know, talking about stress.
Didn't sleep. Yeah.
Didn't sleep. And get this. And during the whole time, a lot of people here, you can maybe talk a little bit about past. What they did to the children, they told my ex-mother-in-law and people in the First Nation said, you know what your daddy did? Your daddy killed your mother.
Oh,
not one
no.
time, not two time, multiple times. Like, how disgusting and how against the children, you know? How they're
That's
trying
right.
to
it's preposterous.
Get the children alienated from me, you know, to get them to hate me.
Exactly.
And anytime I ever tried to get a call up, I had very little access. When I'd call up, they would monitor the calls, and my daughter would be on the phone. She'd get mad and tell them to put the phone down, and she'd say, "Come, Daddy, when are you coming to get us? You know, when are you coming?" You know, my son, "When are you coming? You know, we love you, and when are we coming to you?" And it was terrible, you know. It was